This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Michael and Lyons with you. Today is Jones and Keefe are on vacation. We will talk to Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston in about an hour from now. Get his take on all these developments across the league with Week 18 looming large over us, seeing what the playoff picture is going to be. A couple texts here on the text line if you want to join the show that way, or if you want to call in, 617-779-7937 is the number. 413 says, I will die on this hill. This year's Patriots team is last year's Commanders team. As a Commanders fan, I can tell you, if you feel that's the case, then I am very worried for you.
I think it's a little bit different in that the Patriots have more young guys that are huge parts of this, but I think that's a big time off-season discussion. Like, they need to fortify themselves this, and so we'll talk about this draft time, free agency time, but the way to prevent that is they need another good draft. They got to fortify the middle of this roster, because what's hurt your Commanders this year, Mego? They had some injuries, and that next tier of guys just was not good enough. And they had some bad luck too, but that second tier of guys on the Commanders roster was not good enough to hold the fort down while they had some injuries, and that's how their season really got away from them.
Don't you feel like the biggest change was Jaden Daniels' health, though?
That was like, a huge,
if
huge
any,
part of it. Yeah.
You've seen it better as an example this year than any other year in the NFL. If your quarterback goes down, it's not like, what was it, 2 years ago when you had so many backup quarterbacks carrying those teams into the playoffs? I think primarily of the Browns that year making an appearance in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was the Joe Flacco playoff year.
Right.
Yeah.
This year, your quarterback goes down, even if it's for four games, that probably screws you. And yeah. I think that was Terry McLaurin, another very important member of that team who was struggling with injuries all year long. Like, I just think if your quarterback goes down and he's probably a top five, top seven quarterback in the league, that's kind of what carries your team. And so it's going to be done there. Another text here, 978. I don't think you were here for the first part of the Dynasty 2000s. This is how the Patriots retreated back then, too. No Pro Bowls, just Super Bowls. I'm okay with it. Signed, yeah. Coach Mahoney.
I would say in 01, I think the Patriots had zero Pro Bowlers in 2001. So the texters, by 03, people knew they were good. But like in 01, that is 100% true. And I mean, I don't remember what the odds were or whatever, but most people picked them to lose to the Raiders in the divisional round that year. So to the texter's point, the 01 team was definitely treated that way. Even though some of those guys, like Ty Law and some of those guys, had played in a Super Bowl in 96, the 01 team was treated just like this team.
Do you think it's because it was too far removed from 96?
Probably. And it was two coaches later, right? You had Pete Carroll, then Bill Belichick. The year before, they'd been 5-11 as well under Bill. So I think they were. And a lot of people looked at it as, this is backup quarterback Brady taking over for Bledsoe. Like, yeah, he's having a nice year, but, you know, no one knew he'd be the GOAT.
So isn't that a little bit, though, of the same ilk? I know it's very different because Brady being drafted as late as he was and not having the same expectations as a number three drafted quarterback overall. But isn't it also, again, that feeling of like, it's too early? It's too early. It's a nice year. It doesn't really make sense.
Oh, like, in 01, it felt like, and not necessarily from Patriots fans that saw it week to week, but from a lot of people, like the biggest game of the Patriots regular season that year was a close Sunday night loss to the Rams. A game they lost, but people were like, oh, wow, they can hang with the greatest show on turf. Like, this is impressive. But still, going into that playoffs, they were looked at as a good story, a pretty good team. But people looked at it and said, oh, the Raiders will beat them. And then when they beat the Raiders, it was, well, they won because of the tuck rule. The Steelers will beat them. And then when they beat the Steelers, remember that Steelers game, they had a punt return touchdown by Troy Brown, a blocked field goal return for a touchdown. Brady got hurt in that game. So most people nationally, I mean, the Rams are 14-point favorites in that Super Bowl. And look, I think the 01 Patriots were a better team than the 2025 Patriots. But I think that parallel exists in that that team was continually disrespected. This team has been, as I think that team even more so, but this team has as well.
Are you afraid of the Denver defense?
A little bit.
Why?
I'm afraid of the Houston defense more.
Oh, okay. That's not what I asked, though. Are you afraid of the Denver defense?
No, I am.
I know everybody's afraid of the Houston defense.
No, I am.
This is one of these trends where, like, three people say it, and everybody looks at the stats, and everyone says, yes, yes, yes. The Houston defense is the scariest thing in the playoffs right now. Are you afraid of Denver's defense? Because we spent so much of the first part of the year saying Denver's defense is something to be feared.
So I am, but I am not, like, deathly afraid of them. Like, okay. I respect them. I'm concerned about
them. Are you deathly afraid of Houston? I'll ask you that now. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So Warren Sharp had an interesting tweet. It was yesterday. So Adam Schefter, of course, broke the news, or he didn't really break the news because Jim Harbaugh said it. But Adam Schefter shared the news that, of course, Justin Herbert is going to be sitting against Denver on Sunday. Warren Sharp went through the whole schedule. We talk about soft schedules, right? Soft schedules for the Patriots. Warren Sharp has the quarterbacks that the Broncos defeated in 2025. You ready for this list?
Yep.
I know it because I sent it to you. Week one, Cam Ward. Week four, Jake Browning. Week five, Jalen Hurts. That's a real one.
Yeah. But remember, the Philly offense this year has been all over the place.
That's fair. Week six, that's when they were still deciding like that they weren't going to use their top receiver. So AJ Brown. Week six, Justin Fields. Wouldn't call that a legit one. Week seven, Jackson Dart.
Nope.
Week eight, Dak Prescott.
That's legit.
Legit. Week nine, Davis Mills / CJ Stroud.
I'll give that. That's legit.
Like, you think if Davis Stroud's Mills good. Makes an appearance, is that
Didn't
legit?
Did he beat Jacksonville in that comeback win later this year? Like, he doesn't suck. Like, for a bat, like, that's, I'll get, because they played Stroud.
He's an okay backup, but he's not, you and wouldn't want him in a playoff game.
I'd give him that in that they played Stroud for part of that game.
Week 10, Geno Smith.
Nope.
Yeah. Week 11, Patrick Mahomes.
So here's the thing. On the surface, yes, Mahomes did not play that well long stretches of the last 2 years. So yes, it's legit, but it's not like 2 years ago Mahomes either.
Week 13, Marcus Mariota.
No thanks.
Okay. Week 14, Kenny Pickett / Geno Smith.
No thanks.
Week 15, Jordan Love.
Legit.
That's legit. I cannot even say this name. Week 17, Chris Oladokun.
Oladokun? Yeah. No thanks.
Okay.
All due respect.
And now looks like week 18 going to be Trey Lance.
No thanks.
So you hear that and you go like, yeah, okay, Patrick Mahomes is obviously a real quarterback. You know, Jalen Hurts, maybe you don't think that he's top five, but he's real. Yeah. He's a Super Bowl
he's
winning
a legit
quarterback. He's legit.
Dak is.
I go through some of the stats, though, of what this defense has done. So they've given up the third fewest yards to opponents per game this year. They're behind Houston, your beloved Houston, and Cleveland, who I maintain one of the top defenses in the entire league. Their offense is just awful. Denver's number three. And having seen those quarterbacks, you would think that maybe the passing yards would be really low. They're only eighth. They're eighth best in terms of the passing yards that they've given up. Ahead of them, better defenses against quarterbacks are Buffalo, Cleveland, Minnesota, Houston's fourth, New Orleans, the Chargers, and Green Bay. They were all better defending against quarterbacks than Denver was coming in at eighth. And you just look through that list, like they should have, if you're really scared of this Denver defense, I think they should have eaten up, like, put up some stats on some of those quarterbacks. Some of these quarterbacks, you see Justin Fields that early. Like, Justin Fields could barely pass the ball when you saw him earlier this year. I don't understand how you don't make a little more hay if you're the Denver defense, unless you were just, like, playing very kindly against these offenses.
Yeah, and they do have 64 sacks this year, which is by far the number one in the league. And I think that's the thing. I think the Denver defense is a great defense, but I think some of their numbers, like those sack numbers, are a little inflated because of the bad quarterbacks that they've played. Like,
again,
so I think, and they had Pat Surtain was injured, I think, for three games this year, much like the Patriots didn't have. We saw the Patriots defense with and without Gonzo. There was a legit difference there.
Yes.
And Surtain is probably a little better than Gonzo.
We see it with and without Milton Williams in the run defense.
Well, look, I think Denver's defense is, like, I think Riley Moss, they throw at him a lot because Surtain is so good. And so he racks up a lot of pass interference penalties. I think he's a really good player. Like, Benito is a really good player. Cooper's a really good player. Like, they have great players at every level of that defense. Now, if you're asking me, though, I think Houston's defense is better than Denver. I think Cleveland's defense, to your earlier point.
Yeah, but they're not in the playoffs.
But my point is that if you're asking me what defense scares, it's not like it's like, oh my God, this Denver defense, you can't beat them.
Right, but the point is when you look ahead to the playoffs.
Right.
And you say, we make our hay on offense. And there's defenses out there. We all know the Houston defense is really strong. Is the Houston defense strong enough? Are they like the old Ravens Flacco teams where maybe they can make up for some of the boneheaded plays that C.J. Stroud had? Because we named C.J. Stroud and Davis Mills a couple times in that list. And the text line is lighting up. Stroud doesn't count. Stroud is bad. Like, this is the people don't believe in Stroud, but you believe in that defense. Is that defense good enough to overcome, as crazy it sounds, because he had a great rookie year, their quarterback?
And I know we're talking defenses here, but I think it's worth mentioning that, like, that Denver offense, if you put up two or three touchdowns on that Denver defense, I don't know if that Denver offense is good enough to win. Like, they've won games this year. Like, they beat Houston 18-15. They beat the Raiders 10-7. They beat Kansas City 22-19.
Isn't that like the exact opposite of the way that you want to play?
And they beat the Jets 13-11, like in a game earlier this year. You talked about the Justin Fields game. Like, so yes, this Denver defense is great, but if the Patriots can score 17 points, I could see them beating the Broncos in a close game. I mean, even this, like, Christmas night, a Kansas City team that was playing third stringers, Denver won 20-13. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, yes, I think this Denver defense is terrific, but I don't think they're insurmountable. Like, maybe I do look at some other defenses.
When we talk about being afraid of another team, the thing that scares me more than anything with Denver is honestly going there.
It's
going
fair.
There
That's
is
fair.
They are the only team that maintains home field advantage because of Mile High and all of that. And as much as this team was unbeaten on the road, 8-0, call themselves road warriors, when you go out and you see Sean Payton and his team on his home turf out there, I think it could get a little wacky. You go through Patriots history, it could get a little wacky being out there. I think that's the one place where you could be on the road in the playoffs, and it could be AFC championship game, where it's uncomfortable for you. And it's not because necessarily of the defense. Like, I think the defense is a little bit more of a paper tiger than people want it to be made out to be. I just think that that's not a great place for you to travel.
Brady and Belichick lost two AFC championship games in Denver, and one of them was to noodle arm Peyton Manning in 2015. Like,
yeah,
so
he had a great defense, though.
That was an all-time defense.
That was like an all-time defense.
But point being, like, going out there to play, especially in a playoff game, like, that's an uphill battle for any team.
Going out there to ski is an uphill battle. And yeah, not just because it takes forever to get from the airport. Have you ever had altitude sickness?
No, and I've never been to Denver either. So
you've never been, have you ever been anywhere where you're like so far above sea level? By the way, skiers, you're going to tune in later in this hour because new fear unlocked from a local news story relating to skiing. But have you ever been somewhere where the altitude is high enough that it makes you sick?
No, not that I can remember.
You got to be careful, too. I don't imagine that the team is going to be doing much of this, but you drink two beers, and you can, if you're
that
my size.
That did happen to me.
You could be wasted.
I went to the Grand Canyon, so that's high altitude.
Sick brag, bro.
But no, point it, like, that's high altitude, and I literally had three beers, and the next day I woke up, and I was like, whoa, I'm, like, really hungover right now. Why am I?
You didn't feel it in the moment?
I started to, and then I was like, okay, I'll
then
stop.
Your wife took you home. She was
basically
like, get away from the Grand Canyon.
Basically. And then the next morning I'm like, oh wow, I feel like I drank like nine beers and I had three. But that's what it does to you. Yeah.
Yeah. So think about that.
So me, like, drinking beer, same thing as the Patriots playing
offense.
No,
but it is different. Like, it is different playing out there. It's the one thing. And when I talk about home field advantage, it goes back to whether teams are afraid of you or not. Do you think Foxborough is a scary place to play?
Not yet. And when I say, the reason
do
I
you
say
think it
not
was?
Yet, I think in the heyday of Brady Belichick, yeah, teams would come here and it would feel like they were already down 7-0. And some of that was the crowd, and some of that was just the greatness of Brady, Bill, and those teams.
You don't think weather plays at all?
A little bit. Like, for those early, like, I think of the 2003 AFC Championship
game. Like, if the
game,
Dolphins were coming up here, it would.
Yeah. And even,
I mean,
like,
not for Week 18, but for the playoffs.
No, and I even go to, like, the 2003 AFC Championship game where Peyton Manning looked totally out of it, and part of it was the weather. And the 2004 divisional round, same thing with Peyton Manning and the Colts. So there's certain teams that I think that would apply to, and the Chargers very well could be one of them in a couple weeks.
I think the red seats ruin it. I think the red
seats. I think it's such a good view.
It's the worst idea of any stadium. It's worse. People get upset about the lighthouse. The red seats in the middle of the freaking stadium where you should have sound bouncing off either side of the stadium, and it's just empty. and there's nobody there, that is worse than the first lighthouse or the double lighthouse that they built to have people stand at the top of the lighthouse.
Or the World Cup video board.
I don't mind the video board. It's nice to be able, at least you can watch that.
But yeah,
what's the lighthouse
for? Sad thing is, the red seats might be the best view in the stadium, but it's just people stay in the suites indoors and don't go out into them.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we will catch you up with more Patriots and get ready to talk to Tommy Curran at midnight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, a very significant developing story. Fox 25 has it first as I see it. New England Patriots star Stephon Diggs is facing serious criminal charges. Boston 25 News has learned Diggs is charged with felony strangulation or suffocation and misdemeanor assault and battery charges stemming from an incident on Tuesday, December 2nd, court documents show, according to Boston 25. Diggs's attorneys appeared in court in Dedham on Tuesday, seeking to have the police report impounded, arguing that the details should remain sealed. That is straight from Boston 25. They are breaking the story right now, so if any more details emerge, we will have that for you. But according to Boston 25, Patriots star Stephon Diggs is facing serious criminal charges, stems back to an incident on December 2nd, according to court documents that they have seen. So that's the information that's coming out right now. Obviously, if this is true and if they are, this is all developing right now and it continues in this direction, look, the real life implications are much stronger than football, but we're sports radio and wow, that is a huge story.
Yeah, a huge story for the Patriots, obviously for Stephon Diggs. And you look at the date of this, it says December 2nd, the incident took place. So that's obviously right after their Monday night game against the Giants, December 1st. So the Patriots, you would think, have probably known about this for almost a month. I don't want to speak to if Diggs informed them or how they learned, but you would think, given the reach of the team, they've probably known about this for at least a few weeks. And it puts into question the rest of his season, obviously their season. But, I mean, you look at the details of this, and again, it's still coming out, so we don't want to overstep and go too far here. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, strangulation, suffocation, assault, battery. I mean, this is serious, serious stuff. This is the type of stuff that gets people to go to jail and gets people, you know, and from a football perspective, gets people suspended for the remainder of a season. So it's serious stuff on and off the field. Again, we know innocent and proven guilty, innocent until proven guilty. We don't want to reach.
It's all Boston 25 reporting as of right now. We don't have any individual reporting. It's out of Dedham, Mass. Again, if you're just listening now, New England Patriots star Stephon Diggs, according to Boston 25.
Chad Graff of The Athletic, sorry to cut you off, he's saying the case is being discussed at Dedham District Court right now. That's the most recent thing I've seen.
The case is serious criminal charges, according to Boston 25. They say that Diggs is charged with felony strangulation or suffocation, plus misdemeanor assault and battery charges stemming from an incident on Tuesday, December 2nd. According to court documents. So that's major.
Yeah.
That's major news no matter what. It's obviously major news when it's your definitely most talented receiver, most productive receiver, somebody who has been a leader in that locker room and somebody who has really set the standard for play in the locker room. And we've seen him often on the sidelines getting the team up. I know the way that the impact he's had on the receivers in that locker room. We don't know anything else about the details coming out of this story, but it's going to have huge implications one way or another.
And you go back to Diggs' time here in New England. Of course, we talked about this yesterday. On the field and practice-wise, he's been a good leader for the team. Guys have followed his lead. This is now the second significant off-the-field incident. Remember, there was that pink substance on the boat thing in the spring.
Which ultimately didn't
now,
have
and I know that it's not to this level or whatever, but now, and remember Mike Vrabel at the time, though, was asked about it, and he said, we want to be making good decisions here for the team. This is now another incident. This one's obviously much more significant than the substance on the boat thing, but it's something you read this, Mego, and you kind of like, damn, like this is not, you know, any simple misdemeanor. This isn't a traffic violation. This is a legit serious charge.
This is an extremely serious charge. So we're going to treat it as such. I know there's already, I see on the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEI, if you want to join the show that way, already seeing like a lot of speculation around it. We're not going to speculate over here because, again, we don't have our individual reporting. This is reporting from Fox 25. You see from Chad Graff from The Athletic, says that he's aware that attorneys are discussing it right now in Dedham District Court. The dateline here for Boston 25 is Dedham. And so it appears that everything is tied to something that happened down there on December 2nd, or did or didn't happen, something that he's being charged for. But this is an enormous story. And if it is true, and if it is accurate, and this is developing right now, I do think it calls into question like how aware the Patriots were behind the scenes, right? Like how, if this was December 2nd and they're coming off of that game,
the Monday night win against
the
Giants,
and they have the late bye coming up, like what was the communication? Are they prepared for this? Is everyone in the building? Is Mike Vrabel? Is the staff? Is everyone prepared? Like they knew something like this was coming, because Stephon Diggs has been talking to the media often. Yeah. So he's not acting like somebody who had something that he should be, you know, uncomfortable with public facing.
And if you look at the timeline, so this incident allegedly happened on December 2nd. The next week was their bye week, that December 7th weekend. Then December 14th, they play Buffalo. They score 31 points. Diggs, quiet day, though. Only 3 catches. I'm not saying that affected it there, but you kind of wonder. Then, of course, he has the huge game against Baltimore the next week. So, yeah, I don't know if it affected him or not, but the first game back, he didn't play well. They had the week off in between. So, another piece of this, too, that I think, and we've talked about this a little bit earlier this year, Mego, where Diggs being one of the leaders on the team and guys on the field, at the very least, especially in that receiver room, largely followed his example. Now you kind of wonder, okay, the leadership structure on the team. And remember, in the offseason, one of the big storylines was Mike Vrabel getting rid of a lot of previous leaders, whether it was Jonathan Jones, Juwan Bentley, guys that have been captains. So you have a new leadership group. You have a young quarterback. And I think Mike Vrabel's a strong head coach, but it is his first year here. So you wonder how this leadership group, how this roster is going to be affected by all this. I mean, with one game in the regular season to go and then the playoffs, but you want, because it leads me to believe that if these charges are true, we're not going to see Stephon Diggs at least part of the playoffs, maybe all of them.
Yeah.
I don't want to go that far, but like, it's serious stuff. Like, yeah.
Unfortunately, like whether it's completely, you know, the charges and everything are completely founded. Like, again, this is the court system. It's not for us to judge. It's not for us to speculate or pass judgment. But I think that even beyond the football side of it, like that's really tough for a locker room that has been, I mean, it's a tough look for a locker room that has been as close as they are, and that he has really held himself as a leader in.
Yeah,
you know,
because he hasn't just been your second best offensive player, arguably,
and
behind
he hasn't
May.
Been acting
He's been
like,
one of your leaders.
He hasn't been acting like a mercenary, you know?
No.
Like there's certain...
Wasn't there a story yesterday that him and Cardi B bought a house?
In Easton.
Locally, yeah. So you have that.
Yeah, it was going to be part of Grab Bag. Maybe not now.
Yeah, maybe so, not.
Doesn't have the same lighthearted tone now.
No, definitely. And again, it's one of those things where I go back to Mike Vrabel's quote in the spring after the boat incident, where he said, you know, we want guys to be making good decisions for the team. Regardless of even the actual facts of this case, did Stephon Diggs make a good decision by putting himself in a situation on December 2nd?
Well,
we
can't say.
So
we don't know what the incident is. All we know is that it's serious charges. It says strangulation or suffocation in addition to misdemeanors, according to Boston 25 reporting. And it's being verified now by Chad Graff from The Athletic that they're discussing it at Dedham District Court right now. So I on top of like, hey, did he put himself in a bad scenario or not? There's just not enough details from the case. And by the way, we may not get them because what they're discussing in court right now, according to Boston 25, is that they don't want the arrest record, the police report, to be open to the public. Oftentimes these things are, you know, we've been through this before with other athletes, particularly with other Patriots players, where you can see exactly what the police report says and what they were reporting to in the incident and what they were responding to, rather. And we may never get that here because he is, you know, he's another level of celebrity and his attorneys are fighting to keep it sealed.
And another piece of information here, according to Boston 25, there's an arraignment scheduled for Friday, January 23rd. For those looking ahead, that is 2 days before the AFC Championship game. So we'll see if that arraignment day stays the same. Sometimes those things can be moved. So, but again, that would be Friday, January 23rd, just over a few weeks from now, a couple days before the AFC Championship game. We'll see what, I mean, we will probably have more details between now and then, but that is kind of the next date on the calendar, if you will, where this will be, you know, it's going to be a story all the way along, but that's the next significant date in this at least.
Yeah. So I'll just say it one more time, and we're obviously going to continue to follow this story because it is a huge story, the biggest story maybe of the year so far, because the text line is saying, can you tell us what happened? All the information that we have, Diggs is facing serious criminal charges, according to Boston 25. He is charged with felony strangulation or suffocation and misdemeanor assault and battery charges stemming from an incident on Tuesday, December 2nd, again, a day after the Patriots beat the New York Giants in Monday Night Football, according to court documents that Boston 25 has. Diggs' attorneys appeared in court on Tuesday. They're seeking to have the police report impounded, arguing that the details should remain sealed. So, That tells you also they just don't want any other information out there whatsoever.
Yeah,
like,
and that
no more details trickling out.
And
there.
That doesn't guarantee that it's bad, but it also doesn't make it look good, right? That they don't want any details out there. And you know, we've talked about this from a life perspective. Obviously, they're very serious. From a football perspective, not just the leadership aspect that he's brought to the team that I think now is off the table, at least for a while as well. From a football perspective, this really impacts the Patriots a lot. Offensively, football team as a whole, like this was your second best offensive player behind Drake May. It was probably the one true star name, if you will, if you care about that, that you had offensively. But it was also the one guy that if we project this forward to not just Miami this weekend, but to the playoffs, he was the one guy throughout all season that if you were an opposing team, you had to make sure you game plan for and you were ready for that guy. And if they have a wild card weekend, that'll still be the case, but they may not now have him for wild card weekend. We'll see what his focus level is too. So it'll drastically affect how I think Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels approach this offensively going to the wild card round against what will likely be, as we talked about earlier in the show, a good Chargers defense. So it affects obviously the real life stuff, but this has a really significant impact to the Patriots on the field this weekend as well as in the playoffs.
From a real life perspective and a football perspective, I mean, just that this is happening is extremely disappointing.
Yeah.
Extremely disappointing because, as I said before, somebody in the locker room who has been a real point of motivation and inspiration for especially the younger receivers on that roster, guys who have been here for a couple years but hadn't seen real success like Kayshon Booty and Pop Douglas. And it's a huge bummer too because of the story that he's had, not just this year of being 32 years old and coming back from an ACL just as about as quickly and well as he possibly could, but somebody who entered the league having, you know, played at a smaller kind of program school with Maryland, having broken his leg in college, fallen to the fifth round, and been able to have the statistics and the honors that he has so far. Like, if this is an inflection point for his career, it's just a huge disappointment. We all root for, you know, the comebacks and these great stories. And so we don't know any of the details. And again, like, I'm not comfortable speculating. We have the facts of, that are being reported of what's happening in, from the court documents that were filed in Dedham District Court from Boston 25. But beyond that, like, I just have to say, if this is what the situation is, it's just sad.
And not to quote the Watergate scandal here, but I want to know, what did Vrabel and the Patriots know, and when did they know it? And a 603 texter kind of alluded to this too, but it's like, for a situation like this, your second best player on offense, biggest star name on the team, gets arrested. I find it hard to believe the Patriots are just finding out right now with the rest of us. So do they know and they're okay with it? Do they know and they think, you know, they know something we don't know? Were they truly fooled by this for three? Because again, December 2nd, we're talking 4 weeks ago today. 4 weeks ago today was December 2nd. I don't know. Do we really think the Patriots didn't know about it at all for 4 weeks? Like, I find that hard to believe. Just given their reach. And it's possible.
It is possible in the way, and this is like the speculation game, but he is a different level of celebrity than a lot of even NFL stars.
Sure.
He is...
Dates Cardi B.
Connected
famous
to...
Famous player.
And one of the most famous people on the planet in Cardi B. And so... He may be like in a different, you know, stratosphere, but he's at the facility all the time. He's obviously living locally. One question I have, and maybe this is something we can discuss on the other side that I think is something that bears looking into. Does Vrabel have experience with this as a head coach? Like, has he been through a situation off the field like this before? Is there an obvious one that I'm missing right now? Has Vrabel been in a situation that is at the very least such an immense distraction, and at the very worst, you can see for yourself in the report from Boston 25.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be one of the things to watch here going forward, because, again, I find it hard to believe that he didn't already know about this, at least in some capacity. But regardless, how does this coaching staff handle this going forward? Because, I mean, Robert Kraft and some of the people down there have experience handling player scandals, as we know. We don't have to relitigate
that. More experience than many in the league.
Right, but what is the level from the coaching staff? Like, that is one thing. Like, Josh McDaniels has been here through some of those, so maybe that can be of aid to the rest of the coaching staff. But, yeah, not a lot of guys that have that experience down there.
617-779-7937. We'll be following this story, the breaking news from Boston 25, that Patriots star Stephon Diggs is facing serious criminal charges in Dedham. As we speak, his attorney reportedly in Dedham District Court right now discussing how these charges are going to be handled. We'll keep you up to date with that after.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Let's break. Welcome back. If you're with us for the last segment, you know that, or if you're just on Twitter or the internet, or have a TV on, you know that there is a significant breaking story related to the Patriots right now. Fox 25 had it first, as far as I can see. Stephon Diggs, according to Fox 25's reporting, facing serious criminal charges. He's charged with felony strangulation or suffocation and misdemeanor assault and battery charges stemming from an incident on December 2nd, which would be the day after the Patriots beat the New York Giants in Monday Night Football, according to court documents that Fox 25 says they've seen. Diggs' attorneys appeared in court on Tuesday in Dedham. They're seeking to have the police report impounded, arguing that the details should remain sealed. So, 617-779-7937. If you want to chat about this, we ask that you try to refrain from crazy speculation because it is a legal matter. I see a lot of texts coming in, innocent until proven guilty. Of course, that's the legal system. We agree with that. All we are doing is giving you the information that Fox 25 has reported and that others are coming in and confirming or saying that they also have seen the court documents and information. Chad Graff of The Athletic says that the attorneys are indeed at Dedham District Court right now discussing the charges. So we have that developing. Did you say that you saw that there was going to be an arraignment?
Yeah, January 23rd is the scheduled arraignment. Obviously, sometimes those things can be changed. They can be pushed back. But if it sticks with January 23rd, that is 2 days before the AFC Championship game. So obviously, there's two storylines here, Mego. There's the serious charges themselves, and we don't want to minimize those in any way. They're serious, and yes, it's innocent until proven guilty, but it does not. You know, these charges are really, really serious, and it doesn't look good.
Definitely.
There's also the football side of it as well, right? Whereas this is a guy who's been your second best offensive player, the one guy that defenses all year have had to game plan around. He had the pink substance incident on the boat in the spring.
Not criminal.
Patriots, not criminal.
As far as we know.
From all indications, too, the Patriots kind of, I mean, I'm not saying they didn't speak to him, but it was let go because he practiced and then he's played every game this year. This is obviously the second somewhat significant incident, because I say somewhat because that incident was not legal. This is legal, much more serious. And now you have the serious legal side of it, and you have the football side where one of your best players, one of your leaders, may not be available for a playoff run in which you are a Super Bowl contender now, and you're going to be playing wild card weekend. So you're going to have a playoff game, 2 weeks from now? You're going to be getting ready for a playoff, you know, you're going to be having a playoff game. So it's a serious situation off the field. It has a real effect on the Patriots on the field as well.
The biggest question that I have, other than the obvious questions around the details of this incident, and I don't know that we're going to get them because the lawyers are fighting to keep that report sealed. Normally, you would be able to see a police report. It would be detailing who the incident was between and what happened. These charges sound really serious. So obviously, you're curious about how aggressive the incident was if it took place. But the other big question I have is just the handling of this by the Patriots.
Actually,
behind
we
the
have
scenes.
A statement from the Patriots.
Okay, here we
this
go.
This is Mark Daniels is tweeting this out by Mark Daniels, a statement from the Patriots on Stephon Diggs. I'm just going to read this to you. The New England Patriots are aware of the accusations that have been made regarding Stephon Diggs. Stephon has informed the organization that he categorically denies the allegations. We support Stephon. We will continue to gather information and we will cooperate fully with the appropriate authorities and the NFL as necessary. Out of respect for all parties involved, and given that this is an ongoing legal matter, we will have no further comment at this time. So headlines there, they stand by him. He categorically denies it. And that's the statement.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a very strong backing of Stephon Diggs, in my opinion, from the team.
Yeah.
So that tells you a lot. That tells you a lot.
When they say he categorically denies it, and in the next sentence, we support Stephon.
That started with accusations, I think. The accusations against him.
Yeah.
Not charges, accusations.
Yeah. And it doesn't even say incident regarding Stephon Diggs, which sometimes can be a clue that they think something happened. It just says accusations that have been made.
That's fascinating.
So that is a strong, and this is the team, and not to go through, you know, relitigate history, but this is the same team that Wells Report in Context.com, when they really believed Tom Brady was innocent, then they released Aaron Hernandez the moment he got arrested. So they have a habit of when coming out strongly one way or the other when big incidents around the team occur. And I know those aren't exactly the same. I get it. But this is a strong statement from the team. And when did we start? When did this story break? 20 minutes ago? So 25 minutes after, they're coming out and saying they stand by him.
So does that make you think that they knew about this?
20 minutes later, statement like this, yeah, it does.
They're ready.
And the fact that it says, too, Stephon informed the organization that he categorically denies the allegation. So when you tell me he informed the organization, either he went to them ahead of time or they got tipped off a couple weeks ago. And this makes me think he's talked to Bob Kraft about this. He's talked to front office people. He's talked to Mike. Because again, he informed Coach Vrabel. He informed the front office. He informed the organization. When you think of organization, I think of the Krafts. I think of Elliott Wolf. I think of Vrabel as well, like that group together.
Interesting. So the Patriots come out now with a statement that sounds very, very strongly supportive of Stephon Diggs. They say that these are accusations. He categorically denies all of them. Let's take a quick call here before we hear from Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Nick, you're up.
Hey, how you doing? I'm just wondering, I'm trying to run all through all these scenarios. If Stephon Diggs gets out right before the playoffs, like, who's going to step up? Hollins is hurt. You know, Ethan Chisholm kind of stepped up. You know, we have Williams. Henderson coming off an injury as well. A lot of injuries, a lot of things happening. So how do you think the offense will be affected by this?
Thanks, Nick.
I think it has a massive effect if he's not there.
I mean, look, it has a huge effect.
Not to state the obvious, but
He's the closest thing that they've had in years to a number one receiver.
Yeah.
Like, he is the number one receiver statistically, but he's also, he's the most dangerous one, as you said, the one that other teams have to game plan for. One of the only ones besides maybe Hunter Henry at tight end who has been in double coverage this year. Otherwise, I think that changes the entire look of your pass catchers. And I say that because I loop in the tight ends who have already had to be a bigger piece since Mac Hollins went out because of that. The size in that room is so small. But yeah, Stephon Diggs, if he's out, it's not just the skill that you lose from him. It is a trickle-down effect to an already weakened wide receiver room.
This guy had 970 yards receiving, on pace for a 1,000-yard game. And I think it's worth noting also, a big-time, big-game player. Right, the only guy in your receiver group that's been to the AFC Championship game, unless I'm missing someone. So I think actually Mac Hollins last year, but he's hurt. But he's been to the AFC Championship game, had a great game on Sunday Night Football in Buffalo, had another great game on Sunday Night Football in Baltimore. So a guy that, you know, one of those guys, because one of the questions we've had too this year, hey, they have so many young guys. How are those guys going to be in the playoffs? How are the new guys going to? He's one of the guys that, you know, come the playoffs would play well. You can have faith in that. Now, if he's not there, you're asking, is it Kyle Williams to have a big playoff game? And no disrespect to him, but that's a rookie who's had a handful of good games, and that's it. Is Travion Henderson going to have to take over a playoff game? Like, so that's, I think, where this goes football-wise. Now, you're going to be asking, so DeMario Douglas might have to take over a playoff game. Like,
and it's not only on the field. It's the standard that he set for that wide receiver room.
Yeah.
Like, having seen it firsthand, he is, to steal a Rob Bradfordism, he's the straw that stirs the drink in that wide receiver room, especially with your other real veteran wide receiver, Mac Hollins, being on IR for the foreseeable future. As
early as he could come off would be the AFC Championship.
As far
game,
as you're looking ahead to playoffs, it's a really bad development, but the Patriots, as we said, have come out with a statement where they sound like they are very firmly supporting what they say are accusations against Stephon Diggs, coming off of a report from Boston 25 that he is facing serious criminal charges in Dedham. We're hoping to talk to Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston. We'll do that right after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.